The scripture for today's message is John chapter 8, verse 1 through 11.
일어나서 여자 외에 아무도 없는 것을 보시고 이르시되 여자여 너를 고소하다.
Jesus said to her, "Women, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "I do not condemn you either. Go. From now on, sin no more." Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if we look at the people in the world, we see that many of them are greatly interested in love. Countless people have talked about true love. They even presented many works of art with the subject of love. But it's impossible to gain true love in the world. Many people may profess they love someone, but most of the love seeks for their own benefit, and eventually it decays and changes. They don't know about true love, but they talk about it within their limited thoughts. Then what is true love? Spiritual love is the only true love, and this spiritual love can only be given from God. We've learned about spiritual love through our shepherd. We've heard what kind of love God and our Lord have given us. We've learned what true love is from the messages on the love chapter and the fruit of the Holy Spirit sermons. However, there is an important thing. That is, even if you hear, see, learn the word, unless you accomplish this love, you cannot be said to understand the true love. Of course, when you receive great grace, you may shed tears, thinking, "Ah, the love of God the Father is so great." As time passes by, as much as your faith grows up and you accomplish love in your heart, you will feel the love of God all the more deeply. You will receive a renewed sense of the love and say, "The love of God is far much greater than I used to think it was." But still, you feel it within your own limits. The love of God is beyond the imagination of a man. Its height, width, and depth are infinitely unimaginable. Our Lord took the cross also with this love of God, and the Holy Spirit is praying for us also with this love. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, are you full of this true love in your heart? I'd like to preach about the true love based on the senior pastor's sermon entitled "True Love," delivered in 2009, so that we can remind it and keep that in mind again. I hope that the true love of God may touch you more deeply through this sermon. I pray in the name of the Lord that our mommy members may fulfill this love completely while you're running towards the third step of leaf in the flow of Holy Spirit, so that you can become beautiful fruit of the Father. The true love is, firstly, the love of forgiveness and mercy. To have mercy means to feel pity on someone. Spiritual mercy is not only to feel pity, but also to consider a soul more precious than the whole world. It is the heart not to have evil, unchanging, or sinful men, but to feel pity on them, to give a chance of salvation by all means. How great was the merciful heart of Jesus? Matthew 12:20 says, "A battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out until he leads justice to victory." Jesus showed his mercy to even people who've been stained with sins like a battered reed, or people who are not easy to be saved like a smoldering wick. He desired to save those dying souls to the point of sacrificing his own life. We can understand that from how Jesus did to the woman who caught red-handed in adultery in today's scripture. According to the law, she had to be stoned to death. But Jesus didn't tell the people to kill her according to the law. He had a pity on her and rather opened the way for her to survive. Jesus began to write something on the ground before the crowd. What he wrote on the ground at this time was the sins of the people surrounding her. At first, he wrote general sins such as hatred, anger, greed, stealing, adultery, and arrogance. The people didn't know the list of sins was applicable to them at the time. But when Jesus wrote on the ground a second time, they turned pale. It's because Jesus wrote down the situation of the sins they committed with details like the time and place and the specific sin that was committed by someone there. When they saw their own sins written down, unless their hearts were as hard as iron, they couldn't cast a stone at the woman. One by one, they put the stones down and left a place. It was the same as to condemn themselves if they stoned her while seeing their sins written down. When all of them left the place, Jesus said to the woman, John 8:11 says, I do not condemn you either. Go from now and sin no more. When Jesus said not to sin anymore, it must be engraved deep in the heart of the woman who were trembling from shame and fear, but saved. Because Jesus had fulfilled the heart of love, he understood the hearts of sinners and willingness forgave them with mercy. But even if Jesus forgave her, even she continued to live in sin, she had no other course but to fall into destruction. That's why he earnestly told her not to commit sin anymore. Well, not all of sinners can change even if you show mercy to them and forgive them. Some of them would change and receive salvation, but some others would do evil standing against God till the end and cannot reach salvation. Jesus also knows this fact. And he surely knows each man's heart so well. However, Jesus didn't say, show mercy to this person because he will soon repent. But that person will not repent even if he is given an opportunity for salvation and so give up on him. He didn't ask himself why he had to sacrifice for such evil people either. Most people don't want to show mercy to those who seem to be unworthy of forgiveness. When imprudent people don't show their gratitude but do evil even when they were treated in goodness, people think it is not worth it to deal with them. But it was not so with Jesus. He loved even people like Judas Iscariot to the end until he could have a chance to repent. He didn't forgive people only with his lips, but he even sacrificed his own life to save them. Also, he was crucified on the cross, not only for those who followed him, but also for those who nailed him on the cross. It was so with our beloved shepherd. When he saw someone had committed sin, he made an earnest plea for the person's forgiveness before God and hung unto God. It is the same for those who committed such an evil and detestable sin or those who don't repent but continue to stand against God. It is because he cannot stand seeing them fall into the eternal fire. He says that even if it means he has to stay up all night almost every day, he can endure it only if he can save just one more soul. Even if it means that he has to endure the longer days of suffering and pain, he can overcome it only if he can save just one more soul. It is because he knows the love of the Lord who took the cross for all souls, and because he knows the burning heart of the Father God. Our shepherd filled the measure of justice for us, who were destined to die from our sins. He helped us to become the beautiful fruit of Spirit and Holy Spirit. We remember the day, December 25th. But he should not forget that day. Our shepherd clung to Father God for us who have committed sins. He hung on Father God earnestly for many days, and he showed the love of Father God to us by taking the sword of punishment, and we could be forgiven by that grace and love. He filled the measure of justice with his love of mercy so that we can become the beautiful fruit of Spirit and Holy Spirit. This is our shepherd's love of forgiveness and mercy. Then what shall we do as the people who receive this kind of forgiveness and mercy? Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." God said to forgive each other, just as the Lord forgave us with His mercy. However, there is an important thing to forgive others with mercy. It is to understand others' mind and situation. If you put yourself in the other's shoes, you can understand and forgive them, although you cannot forgive them from your standard. For example, when your unbelieving parents and husband persecute you, you blame them if you cannot understand them. You cannot love them, but try to avoid them from fear or resentment. But if you understand your husband from your heart, thinking, "He must not be able to understand me because he doesn't know about the spiritual realm. That's why he persecutes me," then rather you will feel pity and sorry for him. You'd rather put the blame on yourself about being persecuted, and you will pray for repentance instead of him. By this prayer of mercy, God will move the heart of your husband. Also, you will have wisdom to touch his heart when you talk to him. You realize how to say to make your unbelieving husband so that he can understand. There is a member in my parish. She's been attending our church since she was young, but she got married to an unbelieving person. Before she got married, he said he would attend service diligently after marriage. But actually, after the marriage, the husband could not attend church. He could not attend church and services diligently. Whenever she saw her husband, she felt so heavy and frustrated because the husband promised to her to attend the service and keep the Lord's Day. Sometimes the husband didn't listen to the message even if he was in the service. He drowsed or he couldn't receive any grace from the message. So the wife felt so sorry for him. But while she was listening to the message about love, she looked back upon her heart. In the past, she attended a church with her husband. She always blamed her husband why he couldn't receive grace through the message. She wanted to be happy with her husband while attending service. But when the shepherd told us about spiritual love, she realized that the reason why the husband could not be full of the Holy Spirit, even though he is attending the service, Because by the promise, he is attending church. So he must have, she must have been grateful about it. Before blaming the husband, the wife had to pray for him. She realized this. Although she was nice, she did nicely to her husband because she was still complaining in her heart. There was some argument and there was no peace in her, in their mind. But after she prayed for her husband, she began to look at her husband lovely, and then she became grateful only by the fact that the husband was attending the church. And after she prayed for her husband with this heart, she came to have faith that the husband would have faith later. So after that, she came to pray for her husband with faith and love. Then the husband, the wife came to live a happy Christian life again. There are many things that are right and natural to believers, but are not understandable to your unbelieving husband. You should not say that the other is all wrong. You should understand his heart and put yourself in his shoes. Only then you can receive wisdom from above. You can think of a proper parable or example or story that, and you will find a way how to explain to your husband so that he can also understand. It's the same when you deal with people around you. Some people always complain and give others a hard time, although they are leading people in the church. Some people don't change but still try to lie to people even after hearing the truth for a long time. You may think, why don't they change even after they listen to so many messages about the truth? But even in this case, if you understand them, you can feel merciful about them. They know the truth, and they want to come into spirit too. They also say that they love God and want to help the church and the shepherd. But because they have many untruths in their heart from the birth or in the environment they had while growing up, they don't have much strength to change their heart to be good. They know they have to practice goodness. So when they cannot keep their mind with truth, they are the ones who feel most frustrated. They cannot be full of the Holy Spirit, or they cannot be prosperous as much as they don't cast off sins. How pitiful they are. So if they complain and do something nasty, you can feel sorry for them and they can look lovely to you. Although you suffer any loss or uneasiness because of them, you can be patient and forgive them. This is the love of forgiveness and mercy. Matthew 5:7 says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." I ask you to resemble Jesus' eyes for the woman who is caught in sins, and the heart of Jesus who showed mercy to the soul who were trembling with fear. Please don't forget the love of Jesus and Father God. We have to fulfill the spiritual love in us so that we can save many souls who are trembling in fear. I pray that we can fulfill this love of forgiveness and mercy. True love is, secondly, the unchanging love. When people are greatly indebted to someone or receive love from someone, they may confess their love. However, the true love is the love that never changes, not only in good times but also in hard times. It is the love that never changes, no matter how many years pass by. It is also true when you love God. If you truly love God, your love should never change, no matter how severely you may be afflicted or disadvantaged for it. Even if you undergo trials from time to time, you don't blame God, but you rather continue to devote yourself and be faithful for Him. Then who fulfilled this unchanging love in the Bible? When Apostle Paul had hardships while preaching the gospel, his love didn't change. Even when he was severely beaten, bled, imprisoned, or drifted in the deep sea for a night and a day, he gave praise to God from the depths of his heart. He didn't have the slightest unjust feeling, even thinking, I was faithful according to the will of God, so why should I be beaten and shamed? Why does God let me be cast into the sea like this? He was rather emotionally saying, such a mere sinner like me can undergo trials like this for the sake of the Lord's name. Apostle Paul confesses in 2 Corinthians 1, 8 and 9, who will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Likewise, there is not only peace and happiness all the time when accomplishing the work of God, but because he truly loved Father God, his loving heart for Father God has never changed in any hardships. How about the other one, Ruth? Ruth and his sister-in-law, Orpah, lost their husbands at the very young ages, but they served their mother-in-law Naomi with all their strength. But one day Naomi said she would go back to her homeland. From the viewpoint of daughters-in-law, there would be no hope to go to an unfamiliar foreign land. As they have served the mother-in-law so far, they may follow according to their duty right now. But if they think about their future, they are taking a great risk. Orpah loved her mother-in-law in her own way. So at first, she intended to follow her mother-in-law to the land of Judah. Even though Naomi told her to go back to her homeland, she couldn't do it. But she said she would follow Naomi to the land of Judah. But Naomi told her once again to go back, explaining to her there will be no hope for her. Then Orpah cried and kissed her goodbye. This is how those who have fleshly love appear. By the way, Ruth neither considered her life nor tried to find her own way to survive. Her love was not for the moment. It was the love to give up her entire life. Better than thinking of her life in the future, she only thought of staying together with Naomi till the end. Dear brothers and sisters, likewise, Apostle Paul and Ruth had unchanging love. When you are in some test or refinement, do you have an unchanging love for God and the Lord within your heart? You can see that those who love God not from the bottom of their heart but outwardly are shaken, greatly or even a little, when they meet some hardships and difficulties. For example, when they have something difficult to deal with, they think, I try hard, but why did God allow me to have this? They put blame on God and lose heart. Some people are discouraged, thinking, because I have so many faults and deficiencies, God doesn't love me. You know, our Father God's love doesn't change. Then why do people think like this? It shows that their heart became swayed. That is, they don't realize that their love for God changed, but they only feel the love of God different from before. It is because they lost the first love for God. Then why do many people lose their first love for God? Revelation 2, 4, and 5 say, But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I'm coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent.
그 자리에서 옮기리라 말씀하시죠.
Namely, they lost their first love for God because they fell their first deeds. They professed that they loved God from their heart. But from some time, they began to do what they wanted, not what God wanted. Also, they didn't try to do sincerely the things that didn't agree with their thought and benefit. They couldn't realize this heart. But if you repent this now and try to choose what the Lord is pleased with at every moment with all your heart and with all your heart and soul again, you can recover the first love and all the more. When I prepared this sermon, I was reminded of how I did my volunteering works. One day, well, I began my volunteering works with the love for God and the shepherd. But one day, I saw myself that I didn't have joy and thanks in heart, but I felt hard while doing my duty. However, I didn't find a reason for myself, but I put the blame to others. Well, meanwhile, I remembered one thing while praying at the Daniel prayer meeting. That is, as 1 Samuel 16:7 letter part says, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Father God doesn't look at the deeds, but at the heart. Also, I started serving at the volunteering works with the love for God at first, but after time passed, my heart and deeds changed that I wanted to recognize and praise. And after I realized this, I repented. And whenever I did volunteering works, I prayed, please let me do this with the love for God, Father God, as I did at first. I want to do my volunteering works with the love for Father God and the shepherd. Meanwhile, I was inspired to look at things with the eyes of the shepherd and with the heart of the shepherd. After I performed my duty with the eyes of the heart, eyes of the shepherd, like that, I came to be filled with the Holy Spirit again, and I could realize that my attitude changed. When I wanted to be recognized through my voluntary works, if I was not praised by others, I could not be filled with the Holy Spirit. But after I performed my duty with the eyes of the shepherd and the heart of the shepherd, after I tried to do that, my heart to do the duty changed. When I saw people, when I performed my duty with my camera, before I just took the picture, but while I was doing my duty, I thought about the heart of the shepherd, how he would look at our members with loving hearts. Because I felt the love of the shepherd, my heart that I thought it was hard in doing my duties changed. Have you lost the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Then why don't you pray to feel the heart of the shepherd? When you feel the unchanging love of the shepherd, you can recover by the power of that love, and you can change. People say they can give up even their life when they're burning in the heart for a moment. If we fulfill the true love, even if you give over and over again in your whole life and you're asked to give again, you can give it with the same heart like the first time. Even if you are placed in a very low position after having given like this, you won't have any unjust feeling or misunderstanding. Then you'll receive extreme love from God. We all have to fulfill this unchanging true love. I pray in the name of the Lord that you may win any situations by the power of love from Father, Lord, and our Shepherd, so that you can give joy and glory to Father God. The true love is, thirdly, the love that understands others' heart. Some people give their love to others according to their own standard. Instead of giving what others want, they give what they want to give, and they expect to receive what they want in return. But true love is to be in the other person's shoes and consider their hearts and be able to give what others want and need. Even when others don't give back what you want, you don't feel mistreated or you don't misunderstand them. Even worldly people closely study what others like and what pleases them in order to win their hearts. Well, most of the time, after they win the hearts of others, they change. But still, in the beginning, they too consider others' hearts. When you love God, you should also understand the heart of God. Our Lord Jesus did just that. The will of God for Jesus was that Jesus should be crucified on the cross to accomplish the providence of salvation. Jesus knew that this was the will of God and completely obeyed. However, he didn't obey only by deeds. If he had only wanted to accomplish his duty since taking the cross was his duty, all he would have had to do was to enjoy his life and then to be crucified on the cross at the last moment. But Jesus understood the deep heart of God. He knew why God had sent Jesus to the earth, and he obeyed. Even though at times he was not able to eat and rest, in order to heal and teach just one more soul, he did his ministry with all his heart and strength. In order not to lose any souls that God sent to him, but to lead them before God, he used all his strength. Finally, when he took the cross and walked up Golgotha, he didn't confess in his heart, "Father, I love you, even though I'm hurting and it's so difficult, I can do it for you, Father." This would be the confession of a child who doesn't understand the heart of his father, even though he says he loves him. Jesus said to God that many souls would receive salvation through his suffering, and he tried to reduce the sorrow of his father by all means. "Oh, Father, I can overcome all these sufferings with the overflowing love of the Father. Please don't mourn for me and hold your tears." He rather comforted God the Father. Our Shepherd also shows us love by understanding the Father's heart. Just like the love of the Lord, he doesn't break off a buried reed nor put out a smoldering wick. Our Shepherd also lived for many souls who were dying from sins. Although he couldn't rest or eat, he gave all his body and heart to save one more soul. It's because he knew the Father's heart for the souls very well. So in order not to lose anyone sent from the Father, but to lead all to the beautiful New Jerusalem, he did his best through his life of suffering, tears, sacrifice, and devotion with the faith towards the souls. I'd like to deliver his profession to the Father. This time, I hope you can keep in mind what kind of love he has to understand the heart of the Father through this. It's the profession of our shepherd to Father God when he hoped that our members would comfort God's heart soon in 2013 Easter Day. Father, did you think about me? I try my best today with the grace given by you, Father. It seems I will collapse if I lose enough for a moment, but I feel the strength that you are giving me, and I collect my mind and do your will. Thinking of the past days that I spent with so many tears, how could this son endure if it weren't for the Father's grace? But how could my agony compare with the agony of the Father? You think about my agony and give me this grace today, and it is Father's love. Now, this son and this church will comfort the Father, and therefore, Father, please stop those precious tears of yours. What I have now is shortness of breath, shaky legs, and eroded eyes due to tears. But as you said, Father, I will come forth in resurrection. Let the Father's providence, the great heart of the Father, fill this church fully. Our shepherd confessed that many souls will be saved through that time and tried to comfort the sorrow of the Father, even just a little, in this way. Then who is the one that we can find in the Bible who showed the deeds of love from the love for God? He is the prophet Moses. In the book of Exodus chapter 32, Moses fasted for 40 days and prayed for the people of Israel in order to receive the Ten Commandments for them. However, when people found that Moses didn't come back even many days passed after he went to communicate with God to the mountain, they couldn't be patient but made a golden calf to worship. When God said he would destroy them, Moses said in Exodus 32, "But now if you will forgive their sin, and if not, please blot me out from your book which you have written." If you are blotted out from the book which the Lord has written, that is, the book of life, you will fall into the fire of hell forever. Moses offered intercessory prayer to God earnestly, even risking his life like this, because God couldn't neglect his desperate prayer of Moses. God forgave the people of Israel. However, it is important that God didn't give an order to Moses to pray for the people's salvation like this, because Moses knew the heart of Father God, who wanted to give a chance of salvation from his love for the souls. Moses offered up the prayer of love exceeding the justice. Thanks to the prayer of love beyond justice by the righteous man who was recognized by God, people of Israel could receive great grace and mercy to be forgiven, although they committed such great sin. This is the love for Father God of Moses, who tried to act according to Father God's heart. Little children cannot understand the deep heart of their parents, but grown-up children can. So parents sometimes are comforted or encouraged by their grown-up children and feel happiness by them. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I hope you will love God the Father like this heart of an adult child. Then, even when you do your smallest of duties, your attitude and its fruit will be different. You will not think only of accomplishing the duty. In order to make the procedures and the results the way God can be pleased, you will do it with all your strength. When you visit a soul, if you understand the heart of God, you will not just diligently pay a visit to a soul. Since you understand the heart of Father God, who wants the soul's spirit to prosper, you will work with all your strength to make his spirit and soul prosper. Even when you meet with someone for just one time only, you will fervently pray in order to give grace to him. Then, you will eagerly long for the power and authority to change souls and solve their problems.
함께 사모하게 됩니다.
In addition, when you teach the truth, you don't teach as you see fit or and hurt others' hearts or cause them to react with opposition. You will pray and receive wisdom to understand others' hearts and have conversation with a humble heart. And then you can make others open their hearts and accept the truth. Well, I can discover myself very much while doing my duty. When I make visitation to the members, even if I try to do it with goodness and love, I sometimes find myself insisting that I'm right from my own righteousness and self-righteousness and frameworks. I give a hard time to others, but I didn't know it. But one day, I received the prayer of Pastor Susan Lee, the president of Pastors Association. She prayed to feel goodness and love more in my heart, and the way is to feel the love of the shepherd. That's right. I cannot even do my duty as a pastor without the love of the shepherd. But I was filling my heart with a self-loving heart, not with the love of the shepherd. I was delivering things that were right by my self-righteous and frameworks. Therefore, I couldn't understand the heart of the souls. After then, whenever I visit members, I pray to God how I can deliver the love and heart of the shepherd to the souls. And I try to know how our shepherd would do to these kind of souls. Then I came to preach in the fullness of the Holy Spirit and from the Word. Members could find the solution of their problems. Because I prayed with the loving heart for the souls to deliver the love of the Father God, Lord, and the Shepherd, I could do my duties with a humble heart, and I could deliver the love of Father God to the souls. After I became humble in heart, I came to depend on the Holy Spirit. Before, when I insisted on myself, although I said I depended on God, the Holy Spirit, I couldn't fully depend on God. But after I became humble, I had to depend on the Holy Spirit by prayer, and I had to preach according to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And then I could find the souls could get the answers for their problems. It was a precious time for me. It was also the love of God, the Father, who let me experience this time. Through this time and experience, I could understand, I could realize how important it is to understand the heart of Father God and the Lord and the Shepherd. There is a way to fulfill the deed of love by understanding others' heart. It is to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit clearly. As 1 Corinthians 2:10 says, "For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God." The Holy Spirit searches even the depths of God. Therefore, to understand the heart of God, you should receive the clear inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Please refer to the senior pastor's sermon entitled "The Voice and Guidance of the Holy Spirit" to know the way how to be guided by the Holy Spirit correctly. I pray in the name of the Lord that we all may resemble the heart of goodness and love of Father God so that we can fulfill the love that understands deeply the heart of Father God. Let me conclude my message. Dear members, we looked into the true love. True love is, firstly, the love of forgiveness and mercy. Secondly, it's the unchanging love. Thirdly, it's the love that understands others' heart. While preparing this sermon, I asked myself, how many chances I was destined to die like the woman who committed adultery? But by the love and grace of the shepherd, I received the grace of forgiveness. How many chances of love and grace have I received from the shepherd? And then how much have I engraved the love of Father God, Lord, and the shepherd in my heart, in this flow of Holy Spirit? And there was one thing I realized. It is that because we have our shepherd who is completing the law by love, we can accomplish the perfect and true love after all. 1 John 4:16 says, we have come to know and have believed the love which God is for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. This love covers all our transgressions, and it changes us. Thanks to this love, we can say we hope for heaven. I hope you check yourself how much you have accomplished the true love in you, thinking about the love of God and the Lord through this message. I hope you have a precious time to realize how much you fulfilled before Father God, reflecting yourself on our shepherd. Whether you have the heart of forgiveness and mercy, whether you can give never-changing love, and whether you love while understanding others' hearts, I urge you to check yourself and bear beautiful fruit on December 25th. May you become comfort and joy to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Let's pray thinking over the message.
할렐루야 사랑의 아버지 하나님 오늘은 진정한 사랑에 대해 말씀을 증거했습니다. 오늘 들은 말씀을 통해 우리를 살리신 아버지 주님 목자님의 사랑과 또 용서와 긍휼의 사랑을 또한 변함없으신 아버지 하나님의 사랑을 그리고 아버지의 마음을 헤아려 행하셨던 우리 주님과 목자님의 사랑을 잊지 말고 우리 마음에 깊이 생기고 행할 수 있는 은혜를 주시길 원합니다. 그래서 이제는 원흉의 흐름 가운데 제삼 도약계에 꼭 필요한 영의 열매로 온융의 열매로 나와 아버지 하나님의 위로와 기쁨이 되어드리는 모든 성도님들이 될 수 있도록 인도하여 주옵소서 감사드리며
Thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Let us all receive this prayer for the sick of our senior pastor through the screen. Please lay your hands on your sick part or the desire in your heart. Hallelujah, Almighty God, our loving Father. Please lay your hands on all believers who are receiving this prayer now. Show your works that transcend time and space on those who are receiving this prayer through GCN, Internet, and Satellite TV, in branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all other children of God around the world. Give them the faith to believe from heart, drive away negative thoughts and doubts, and drive away all tests and trials. From head to toe, all entrails, joints, nerves, tissues, and cells, whatever the sick part may be, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and the original light. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities, go away, light come. Please scourge all their terminal and incurable diseases with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria. All contagious diseases, including cold, flu, and fever, go away. Protect them from all kinds of germs and viruses. Heal them of all stomach, lung, liver, breast, urine, and intestinal cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressure, diabetes, thyroid problem, and heart, lung, and women's diseases and all inflammations, go away. Heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs, back pain, headache, neuralgia, and all other pains, disappear. Epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all the mental diseases, go away. All kinds of paralysis, be loosened, get up, walk, and leap. Let the eyes see well. Let the ears hear well. Let the blind come to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Fix their broken bones. Restore them from burns. Let the heat and burning sensation go away. Let no scar remain. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions, poisoning, and substance abuse. Let the dead nerves and tissues and cells be regenerated. Bring back the dead back to life. Give them the blessing of conception. Receive the blessing of conception. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the power of the air, the evil forces of the heavenly places and their servants, go away. Go away, evil, unclean force and deceitful spirits, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen the bonds of wickedness. Darkness, go away. Light, come. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and the power to cast off their sins and become sanctified. As their souls prosper, let all things be going well with them and let their families be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters throughout the week and bless them to have a prosperous life without any problem. With the fiery words of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels and your blazing eyes, protect all your children, their families, workplaces and business fields. Give students wisdom and understanding and give them enthusiasm and fervor to study hard. Please keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and let them love God more fervently. Whether your children eat or drink or in whatever they do, let them do it all to live a life glorifying Father God. Let them be able to testify about the living God, saying, I've met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Be glorified alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.